Hi, everyone, and welcome to First Things First, live from Progressive Field in Cleveland, Ohio, site of this year's 90th All-Star Game. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. It has been a while since Cleveland has hosted an All-Star Game. 1997, they got themselves together. They felt like they were ready to do it again. We're excited to be here. We got a big show. We have Commissioner Rob Manfred joining us. We have the always effervescent Nick Swisher will be sitting here, but we have to start this morning.
I thought JR was joining us, but go ahead.
Okay. JR Smith may be stopping by. We're working.
We have to start with the news that UCC broke on Friday night. Kawhi Leonard is going home. The two-time finals MVP signed a four-year deal with the Los Angeles Clippers worth $141 million. Joining him, six-time All-Star Paul George. Wasn't cheap for the Clippers. They traded five first-round picks, two pick swaps, and two players to get PG-13. See, I have to start with you. You've been all over this from the beginning. You got the call from Uncle Denny. What was your reaction to all of this?
I was totally shocked. But I had been informed the whole way that all three teams would be involved, but by the... I was shocked not only that he selected the Clippers, but I was shocked at some of the intel, how he reached out to Kevin Durant and really made a plea for Kevin Durant to join him with the Clippers. Kevin Durant decided to join Kyrie Irving, going to go to the Brooklyn Nets. Then how he immediately moved off of Kevin Durant compared to just joining the already made the big three there in Los Angeles, everyone thought was a done deal, or even a short-term deal going back to Toronto. He stayed for a quiet guy. He does a lot of talking. He talked to Paul George, forced Paul George to go to his employer and force his way out of his second team to be able to force his way out of it in 3 years. To me, Kawhi Leonard and how aggressive he was. You asked me a question on Friday. What would we learn about Kawhi? Now, I didn't think I would learn that much, but, man, how aggressive he was and how he took charge of the situation to be able to control his own fate. But ultimately, it was just like Kyrie, and I had mentioned this a couple times, he wanted to go back home. And the Clippers, they wouldn't let the girl go.
Right.
Man, they made eyes on Kawhi last year when Kawhi said he would play for the Clippers. And I don't know about the NBA office, but the Clippers, during the season, they stayed in contact. They let Kawhi know.
Every single Raptors game, see, and much to the chagrin of some of the Raptors front office, there's someone there all year long in a Clippers team polo.
They have one of their analysts criticize Kawhi on TV.
You're out.
They fired him. So it was everything behind the scenes. The Clippers had the advantage that we thought Toronto had.
And listen, I understand the trade haul is unprecedented, but you cannot look at the Clippers gave up that for Paul George. They gave up that for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You got the reigning finals MVP and maybe the next best two-way wing in the league, a top five player and now also a top 15 player. That's the price of that, both on long-term deals.
And I think it's very important to Nick's point. When Kawhi leaves the meeting with the Clippers, he tells them, if you get Paul George, I'm coming.
I'm coming. But I think they also know, whether it was said or not, if you don't, I'm not. We did learn a lot. We learned that Kawhi does not want the easiest path possible. But he also does not want an impossible path. Signing with the Clippers, where your second-best players, Lou Williams or Gallo or Patrick Beverley, however you slot them, would have put you the eighth or ninth-best team in the league. That would not have been what you had in Toronto with former Defensive Player of the Year Mark Gasol, with Kyle Lowry, with Siakam, with Van Vliet. It would have been the least talented team he's ever been on. So he made the best move for himself. And selfishly, for me as a basketball fan, the best move for the NBA. Because now we don't have a super team. We don't have where one team is a favorite against the field. We have a third of the league that legitimately believes they can win the championship. That is exhilarating to me. And the other thing we found about Kawhi is there was a lot of reporting that people don't want to play with LeBron. I think there's an element of, if you think you can be the face of the league, if you think you can be the best player in the league, how big of a shadow does LeBron cast over it? I think that affected Kawhi's decision. I think he would have signed with the Lakers if the Clippers hadn't gotten the deal done. But this is the best move for Kawhi and the best move for the NBA. Everyone except for Lakers and Raptors fans this morning or late Friday night, early Saturday morning should have been thrilled with what just happened.
Why do you think that Kawhi didn't want to go play with the Lakers? We talked about how winning was very, if not the most important thing to Kawhi Leonard. It would have been the easiest path, as Nick mentioned, to go to the Lakers. Why do you think he chose? Do you think that if Toronto or the Clippers weren't able to get that second star, he'd be playing with the Lakers
now? Well,
this
is the thing with the Lakers. And I disagree with Nick a little bit. I don't think Kawhi was going to go to the Lakers. I think his second option was to go back on a short-term deal to Toronto. But he kept the constant threat that forced the Clippers to trade all those picks. The constant threat that Kawhi could be down the hallway. That right there made the Clippers, because I think they were more afraid. The Clippers, if he said he's just going back to Toronto, they might
have been okay running it back.
Yes, but you can't, in this case, with the Lakers, with their reputation, the Clippers, with their lack of a reputation, you can't allow Kawhi Leonard to join one of the greatest collections of talent ever, and you have something to do about it. So Kawhi, I believe, he played his cards just perfectly. The Clippers thought that he could go to the Lakers. I knew he could go back to Toronto. I was informed of that he could lean towards a short deal and go back to Toronto in like the 11th hour of the overall deal. But very, very intriguing of how he put everything together and made all three teams think that potentially he would sign with them.
But to answer your question, yeah. Jenna, because Kawhi understands what I understand, what you guys understand, what seemingly everyone around the league understood, except for in an odd way, Kevin Durant, which is all championships are not equal. And if Kawhi had signed with the Lakers, and you have the best player in the league, the third best player in the league, and the sixth best player in the league, slot those three guys however you do, and they're minus 150 favorites, even if they go win a title, that title is not worth 50% as much as the one he believes he can now win with the Clippers. It is not about the hardest path, but it is also in sports not always about the easiest possible path. And that's why Laker fans shouldn't be crushed by this, because you still have a really good team. And if you are able to get to the top of the mountain, it will be totally vindicating as opposed to, oh, you stacked the deck.
First, the Lakers made a lot of mistakes. Magic Johnson, the intel that he let out of that meeting, that was a mistake. Now, you can say, well, he's not working for the Lakers. Well, he's one of the faces of the Lakers. Some of the injuries that they've had in the past, Lonzo Ball, him being injured 2 years, Ingram, his injuries, questions about the medical staff. How severe was the injury to LeBron James? Why did it take him so long to come back? So Nick's talking about the championships. I don't believe Kawhi looked at it that way. The Clippers were the team to beat, and he didn't have the trust in the organization, didn't have the trust in the front office and or in their medical staff. That's how the Clippers, besides pulling the trade, that's how they were able to gain Kawhi's trust in this matter. The Lakers are going to be all right. But Kawhi, and I think we got Austin Carr coming up later on, I think a lot of the old school NBA players, they're happy we have someone like Kawhi, because he level set the league. There ain't no more super teams.
Yep.
And if you want to compete, it's about competition. That's the way it's been since I've been a kid. And I'm sure these guys that have played the game and are covering the game on a regular basis are excited that Kawhi Leonard decided, so you know something? I'm not going to take the easy road in life. There's so many people who want the easy way, the microwave. He took the hard one. I'm going to be down the corridor, but I get one guy to be able to fight with. You
right.
saw what I did last year. It's going to be an exciting. This is most I'm excited about the NBA since the mid to late 90s.
Sure. First time in a number of years we actually have parity and not a super team that we're going to look forward to in the coming season. The quiet guy making the most noise in free agency in Kawhi Leonard.
With Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals, you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, keto, protein plus, or vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 and use code firstthingsfirst50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code firstthingsfirst50 at factormeals.com/firstthingsfirst50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor.
Here in Cleveland, Progressive Field for the 90th annual All-Star Game. We're going to get to a lot of baseball in a bit, but first we're going to talk some Lakers. They were holding out hope that they could sign Kawhi Leonard to create a big three, but they struck out when Kawhi chose the Clippers instead. So the Lakers filled out their roster with veterans, most notably Boogie Cousins and Kawhi's former teammate Danny Green. Lakers also brought back Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee. Nick, what do you make of the Lakers' moves after missing out on Kawhi?
All right, I love the Danny Green move. The Danny Green move was necessary. He was one of the top targets before you ever even thought Kawhi was a possibility. There was real concern that Danny Green was going to end up going wherever Kawhi went. That obviously wasn't possible once he chose the Clippers, and the Clippers also traded for Paul George. He is exactly what they need. I also, you didn't mention it, but a kind of sneaky good move, I think, is Quinn Cook, the backup point guard for the Warriors. People saw him in the finals this year. Knockdown shooter, not a great defender, but would play great alongside LeBron if LeBron be the de facto point guard. The Boogie move I have a question about. The Rondo move I don't like at all. And Rondo last year was the only guy on the Lakers that when he was on the court with LeBron James, the Lakers were outscored. Any two-man combo, if LeBron was out there, they outscored their opponent, except for the one with Rondo. That one is curious to me. And Boogie, people can say, oh, he's so cheap, it's risk-free. But that's if you're playing 2K. That's if he's not playing well, you can just put him into the bench. You don't have to worry about it. Given the let's just call it, unknowns on the coaching staff, and given all these personalities, the Boogie move has boom potential, but it also has bust potential. But I love the Danny Green signing. I like the Quinn Cook signing. And I think they made the most with what they could do, given the fact that the free agent market was so barren, having waited on Kawhi Leonard.
I just want to ask one quick follow-up on Boogie. You don't think Boogie proved himself in Golden State? He played when he was asked to play in January. Then he got hurt. He rehabbed and came back. He tried to be a good guy, except for, of course, the one game you and I went to where he got kicked out. But for the most part, he didn't prove that he could fit into any situation.
I think with Boogie Cousins, his reputation, it would take longer than one season. I think if Boogie Cousins doesn't get injured in that first round, yeah, he returned later on faster than people realize. But if he doesn't get hurt, I still believe that the Warriors, they three-peat. They're world champions. So for me, I like his skill level. Any of the players, absent of Danny Green, any of the players, because of where free agency was, all of them have warts. It's just a matter of where their warts are. There was no perfect fit for the Lakers. For me, the winner in this, besides signing Danny Green, it was Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma being the third scoring option for the Lakers and now potentially being a starter compared to coming off the bench, I believe this is going to breathe life into his career. And I believe, man, the ceiling is very, very high for him. The Lakers are going to need him, not only to be outstanding shooting the basketball, but he's going to have to be a better defender. So I'm looking at his overall development with the other signings because you can't be happy because there wasn't a whole bunch – left.
Oh. And that's what we talked about all week, Nick. You said that the Lakers had waited so long. They put all their eggs. We don't need that anymore. They put all their eggs in the Kawhi basket that there may not have been a big enough pool left for them to fill out their roster. Do you feel like they did a good enough job with who was left in free agency?
Listen, I did my top 36 free agents. Number one was left Kawhi. Number six, and they didn't get him. Number 16 was Boogie. Number 20 was Danny Green. So they got, those were the top three left. They got two of those guys. Here's my concern with Boogie, and then we should start to talk about that starting lineup you mentioned, is you're right, Boogie handled himself the right way last year. And then he had a devastating personal and professional setback. He suffered another injury. He's now playing for even less money than he played for last year. Now the odds of him ever getting that max contract, he was on his best behavior saying, I'm going to do right. I'm going to show I'm healthy.
I'm going to
win a title. And then I'm going to go get the money I missed out on. He's now a year removed from that. He's playing for essentially the minimum. He has suffered a second significant injury, and the idea of Boogie Cousins ever signing a nine-figure deal are now probably lost. How does that weigh on him? That's the first point. Second point, C, you mentioned Kuzma as a starter. I hope you're right. And we can show it. If I were running the Lakers, the starting lineup is very easy. Quinn Cook, Danny Green, Kuzma, LeBron, Anthony Davis. But given those signings, if they are going to start Boogie at the five, there isn't room for Kuzma to be a starter unless they're going to start LeBron at the point guard. But I think on the right, that's going to be your starting lineup. That one concerns me. That one doesn't have enough shooting. That one doesn't play to the strengths. That one doesn't allow Kuzma to grow to the way you're saying. If they go with the one on the left, which no one's talking about them actually doing, I just think they should. And then Rondo and Boogie can play minutes together off the bench. They played together in New Orleans a couple years ago. Kuzma can be that third option. That would work really well for you. That's going to be a test on Frank Vogel and Jason Kidd and that coaching staff, because those are proud veteran players who... How would Rondo react to Quinn Cook starting over him? Which the reason he would do it is because he's such a good shooter. How would Boogie react to coming off the bench, which we mentioned he's had never done in his career until he got hurt in the playoffs when they brought him back in the NBA Finals? Those are real question marks to me, because if you start Boogie, I don't see how Kuzma's in the starting lineup.
Bro, those aren't the conversations you have after you sign him. Those are the conversations you have before you sign him. Rondo didn't sign a one-year deal. Rondo signed a two-year deal. So you think they told Rondo, you're getting ready to be the starter here for the next 2 years? You think they didn't have the numbers when he was on the court with LeBron? Those are the conversations that should have been very, very clear as the Lakers go forward. There will always be problems as far as that roster. And to me, they had to go all in for Kawhi, but all in for Kawhi was not, you're not going to be able to get anyone else. Danny Green got a contract that if Kawhi signs, he doesn't get that contract. Right. Danny Green was waiting on Kawhi, but he was also waiting on his own opportunity.
And then I bring this up all the time. You still have a head coach that hasn't been with these guys yet. You have Jason Kidd right there as well. There's a lot of personalities.
Lionel Hollins.
There's a lot of personalities on that team now for this coach and this coaching staff to have to deal with.
One other note. When we last talked last week, it looked like Andre Iguodala was going to get bought out and go sign with the Lakers. Memphis is now smartly considering holding on to him, seeing if they can get an asset back for him. Also, Kyle Korver potentially on the buyout market. The other domino of Kawhi picking the Los Angeles Clippers is when these veterans do get bought out before or during the year, they are going to have two championship contending teams in the city of Los Angeles to choose from. So when you think the Lakers are going to be able to supplement their roster with guys that get bought out, the Clippers are going to be in that market too, going to be able to offer the same building, the same weather, maybe the same chance at a championship. That's one of the other parts of Kawhi not only not picking the Lakers, but not going back to Toronto. Toronto wasn't going to be big in the buyout market for veterans that want nice weather, chance to win a ring. The Clippers absolutely will be, so that's something to consider as well.
Remember when the Knicks were like, well, at least we're not as bad as the Clippers. Never mind.
Never happened.
Never happened. July 20th, the legend Manny Pacquiao taking on defeated Keith one-time Thurman for the World Welterweight Championship in the biggest fight of the year. July 20th, it is live on pay-per-view and the Fox Sports app.
Pacquiao, good basketball player, too. Got a nice little hoop game.
Nice to
I
know.
I did not know that.
Neither did I. Welcome back to First Things First, live from Cleveland for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. See, you excited to be back in your home state?
Yeah, absolutely. With you guys, go anywhere.
This is great, man. Chris, I love being in – this is our third straight year in Cleveland together, even before the show started. And this is – I love being here. I love being here. I'm glad the MLB
I was walking around town last night with Christine Wardrobe. She was amazed. She was like, man, all these people stop you. How do you live like this? Pretty good.
Pretty good. It's not bad no being complaint. Chris Carter in
yeah,
the
if I get
Ohio.
Down on my luck, I'm coming back to Ohio, people. You know that.
All right, time now for us to go viral.
Only
back to
if
some basketball.
I'm down on my luck. I love you so much. People of Ohio, I love you. If everything goes wrong for me,
I'm
moving
on my
back.
Luck now. Stuck okay. Doing a show with y'all.
Okay. Go ahead.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis spent the weekend in Vegas taking in some Lakers Summer League action and made the AD to LA transaction official, with LeBron posting this picture of the brow with his new number 23, purple and gold Lakers jersey. And AD wasn't the only one proud of his new gear. KD posted his Nets uniform. Oh, interesting. KD will also be changing his number, rocking the number 7. I wonder why he's changing his number, CC.
That's the Biggie jersey, isn't it? Isn't that the throwback Biggie
yep.
jersey?
The Coogee.
Oh, man, that's hot right there.
Which is what do you think is going to be the hotter selling jersey? 23, Anthony Davis. 6, LeBron.
LeBron James.
7, Kevin Durant. Because all different numbers, 2 of those guys, different teams. What do you think is going to be the number one seller in the NBA?
Yeah, it's not based on player. LeBron's going to be the highest one, just like last year. His number 23 was the number one seller. And then AD's, because the Lakers fans, and then the best basketball player in KD is going to be 3rd. So
he's the best player? I thought you were going to say the best basketball player in
I'm
Kawhi.
I'm doing this segment, buddy.
Okay, all right. You're also going to add Kawhi at number 2.
Oh,
with the Clippers.
Yeah, LeBron is definitely the 3rd or 4th best in L.A.
There we go. 3rd or 4th best in L.A.
Yeah. Okay. His son, his AD, son. Him, Kawhi. Come on,
what
bro.
What about D-Wade's son, Zaire?
Oh, no. Zaire ain't ready yet. Okay. The lefty right. ain't ready
What's
yet,
up,
but I checked
no,
him out.
What's the
we're
matter?
All good.
Did I box you out there? I didn't mean to.
No, that's how you play ball. Time for some stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel.
That's how you play ball.
Yesterday, the U.S. Women's National Team won the 2019 World Cup Final 2-0 behind goals from Megan Rapinoe and Rose Lavelle. The team dazzled all tournament long, scoring a World Cup record 26 goals. Chris Carter, what'd you make of the game?
Man, a lot like Nick Wright. You go out there and run your mouth, you have to back it up. Megan Rapinoe and a bunch of stars. This might be the most talented World Cup team that we've had, but it's also... we have a dynasty. We've won 2 in a row. We've won 4. What other country rivals us in women's soccer? None.
And the numbers in this tournament were startling as far as goals scored, goals allowed, amount of time leading in these games. The final was the first game all tournament we didn't score in the first 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. It was total and utter domination start to finish in this tournament. Rapinoe was the best player. She deserved all the awards. What an awesome story. And hopefully our men's team can take a little from our women's team.
And I saw a little Chris Carter dance on Instagram when they finally won.
Oh, yeah.
That was 1-0. That was pretty bap.
Yeah,
Nick,
I figured out that one
on
thing that makes you... Which
the
makes
boomerang.
You,
no,
what is it? The boomerang. Yeah, make you... Bap.
Okay.
Zion Williamson...
Might do that later today.
...made his NBA Summer League debut Friday night against...
Give me that!
...the Knicks. Not quite the debut he would have wanted. He scored 11 points in 9 minutes, but had to leave with a knee bruise. Oh, and then there was an earthquake, which canceled the rest of the game. Nick, what did you make, though, of Zion's debut?
Listen, he was dunks on dunks on dunks, and then we didn't get to see him. And now, unfortunately, we're not going to get to see him the rest of summer. That's the real news here, is that they're going to hold him out, it would look like, for the rest of summer league. So, it was exciting. It was fun. It was Zion's debut, then an earthquake, then Kawhi, then Paul George. It was a wild Friday night in the NBA. Unfortunate for Zion that he's not going to play the rest of summer league.
But fortunate he does have David Griffin, the guy that's going to be orchestrating his career. And they have a very good roster top to bottom, that even his weaknesses won't be exploited in his rookie year. That's his shooting. He started trying to please people, started trying to shoot the ball from outside. Then he realized, listen, let me get in the paint. Let me do the things Zion's going to do. Rebound the basketball. He's going to be explosive on the defensive end. Exciting.
All right, now that Kawhi has left Toronto, there is room for a new king at the top of the Eastern Conference. Last season, the Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the NBA and the MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo. The 76ers were bounced from the playoffs by Kawhi, but have since added Al Horford to their lineup. See, what do you think? Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference right now?
I'm going to go with Milwaukee. I believe top to bottom, they have a better team. I believe that Giannis will come back even better than what they were last year. The Milwaukee Bucks, the only thing they lose is Brogdon. But I believe the rest of that roster and the overall experience, losing in the conference final to the eventual world champs in Toronto, I believe will be great experience for this young basketball team.
The biggest winners of the weekend were the Los Angeles Clippers. The next biggest winners were the Milwaukee Bucks. The Raptors now are no longer contenders. You look out east, it's the Bucks, the Sixers, and maybe the Nets if Kevin Durant comes back earlier than we thought. But the Bucks are the answer to this question. They should right now. They're not, but they probably should be the Vegas favorite to win the whole title.
Another team keep an eye on is the Pacers. Very good starting lineup.
Be a good conference there at East. All right, now that the Thunder have traded Paul George, there's speculation that the team will go into rebuild mode and perhaps trade Russell Westbrook. Russ is a very polarizing player, that we know, to a lot of NBA fans, but he is an eight-time All-Star and a former MVP. Nick, should Westbrook want out of OKC?
Well, let's see. Since he's gotten there, they've traded James Harden to avoid luxury tax after the team moved from a major market Seattle, then to OKC. And the owners who moved them then claim poor because they're in small market. They then couldn't keep Kevin Durant. They now trade Paul George. And Gallo, who they got for him on a one-year or an expiring deal, is a good player. And I like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a lot. But the reason they made this trade was their hand was forced and they got seven first-round picks. Those first-round picks don't mean nothing to Russell Westbrook. He's got, because of his style of play, his size, his knee injuries in the past, and how much of his game is about explosiveness, his window as an MVP candidate, triple-double machine, is the next 2 to 4 years. And that now no longer matches up with Oklahoma City's window. So Russ, who was loyal, Russ, who signed the extension, Russ, who recruited Paul George, Russ is now left with no good options. Stay here and don't compete for championships, or ask out of here and have no power over where I go, no power over the future of my career. And so I wouldn't blame him for wanting out. Either way, they need to build a statue to him in Oklahoma City. He's the most important player in the history of their franchise and the most loyal one. But there are no good options for Russell Westbrook. And with 4 years, $171 million left on his deal, see,
expensive.
There aren't a lot of teams that are thirsty to go get Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, and it's not only the contract, it's the reputation. Is he really going to be able to get along? And we didn't hear anything about Paul George. We gave Russ a lot of credit. Paul George, man, loves OKC. Man, Paul George gets one phone call from Kawhi, the fun guy, and he's out. I mean, he goes to management and say, I got to get out of OKC so that I might be able to return to Southern California. So to me, there's been a number of indictments against Russ. How good is he as a teammate leading a team? Can he lead a teammate of a bunch of young guys? Because I think that's what he's going to be stuck with. He doesn't have great trade value. I believe they have to be able to hold on to him because they're not going to be able to get dollar for dollar what he's worth. And there's not a lot of teams. We talk about Chris Paul. There's not a lot of teams that would like to absorb his contract. Things that are very, very important. Since Kevin Durant left OKC, he's 4-12 in the playoffs and 0-8 on the road. Has not won one road game since KD has left. That right there, they might have a statue for him, but that is an indictment against Russell Westbrook.
All right, I know his options are bleak, but say he does want out. What team would be a good fit for him? His play, his personality, like C mentioned, all of it, the money.
Okay, so the obvious answer would have been the New York Knicks. The Knicks have some draft picks they could trade. They need a superstar. Russ, even if he's not popular with the media, is popular within the league. He could be a draw for another player. But the Knicks had all this cap space, and they spent it. They didn't know Russell was going to come available. They can't trade those players that they just signed. That forget Julius Randle, but Bobby Portis, Reggie Bullock, Taj Gibson, Wayne Ellington. They can't trade them until 6 months after they sign. So you're talking about mid-December would be the first time they could actually get in the game for him. That's how so many – anyone that was signed in these last 2 weeks, or in the last week, I guess, cannot be traded until December, January. And if they want to move Russ now, then you're talking Orlando, Miami maybe, but Miami's got no draft picks. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Chris Paul, Houston, and I haven't talked to Daryl Morey about this, I promise you, but Russ doesn't exactly seem to lend to an analytical style of play, which obviously is what Houston does.
Yeah, Russ, it's a tough fit. I don't believe they're going to be able to trade him. They're not teams that need him and have the draft picks. With Russ, we're going to see an aging superstar. How well his game ages, how well his body is able to keep up. But it's unfortunate for a guy. I believe this is a first in NBA history with that type of resume, three straight seasons, triple-double, and having no one that really won him.
And just real quick, because I already know over the next 72, 96 hours, there's going to be articles written in response to Paul George 1 year after signing a four-year contract extension, demanding a trade, talking about player empowerment and player movement, that it's gone overboard, that it's gone too far, that contracts mean nothing. Well, the flip side to that equation is Russell Westbrook, which is a guy that didn't try to use his power, that signed the extension early, that gave up any power leverage over the team that he had, he gave it up. And now he might get shipped to Orlando. You know who also did that? Blake Griffin. And 6 months after he did that, he got shipped to Detroit. Dame Lillard just did it. He's got 6 years now left on that Blazers deal. Let's see if the Blazers don't try to pivot against his wishes. If you trust the team, then all of a sudden, you might be in a position where they say, you know what? We said we were going to hang your jersey in the rafters, but man, we want to duck that luxury tax. Man, we want to pursue Kawhi Leonard in a year or two, so we're going to trade you. Russ has put himself in a position where he has no leverage, where he has no power, and that's the flip side to short-term deals and constantly holding your team's feet to the fire.
How many years he has left?
He's got 4 years, 171 left.
All right, let's get back to the Clippers now. After landing Kawhi and Paul George, the Clippers, and not the Lakers, now have the best odds to win the NBA title. This is the same franchise that has never made it to the conference finals. CC, are you buying that the Clippers are the NBA's best team right now?
I think their roster top to bottom, and given Paul George, given Patrick Beverley, given Kawhi Leonard, they're going to be one of the best defensive teams that we have seen in the NBA in the last 10 or 15 years. They got three guys that will live on the all-NBA defensive team. They have the type of length. Now, can they get some shot protection at the rim? I believe they're going to have an outstanding team. They are top to bottom with Doc Rivers, because one thing we have not counted in this, Doc Rivers, what does he add? In-game situations, what does he add as far as controversy throughout the season, been over to being through situations, all the experience he's had as a player and as a coach. I'm looking forward to seeing how they put this roster together, looking for the style of play. Because let's picture this. That team that we saw, the Clippers, who won two games from Golden State, now add the legitimate scoring that they have with Paul George and Kawhi. Outstanding collection of talent that they have.
All right, so the Clippers are obviously an excellent, excellent team and one of the five best teams in the league. I don't think anyone would dispute that. Why would it not work out for them? See, you mentioned how good they're going to be defensively. 100% agree. When the Sixers traded for Al Horford or signed Al Horford, I said their path is to be the best defense in the league by a wide margin. Well, now they've got a contender with them in the Clippers. These are two teams that could be really special defensively. But they do have a size problem. You mentioned the lack of a rim protector. Mm-hmm. Montrezl Harrell or Zubac is going to be their starting center. They just gave Zubac a rich contract over the weekend as well. And the other concern with the Clippers is this. Paul George didn't have one, but he had two shoulders operated on this summer. They think he might not be ready for the start of the year. And we saw the difference between Paul George with healthy shoulders the beginning of the year to Paul George dealing with the injuries late in the year when his efficiency dropped off.
He was almost an MVP candidate at the beginning, and he definitely dropped out of that race at the end.
100% correct. And if you're Kawhi, see, you know this better than me, why would Kawhi ever play more than 65 games in a year again? Like, he played 60 this year without dealing with a significant injury. Load management and his health was obviously an enormous part of the recruitment with the Clippers. So my point is, if Paul George isn't going to start the year healthy, which he might not, and with Kawhi, my guess is playing less than 70 games, are the Clippers going to be able to have home court advantage? Are the Clippers going to be able to put together a 57-58 win season that you would need to be one of the top two seeds in the West? Those are the concerns. The positives are everything you listed. You have an MVP candidate in Kawhi Leonard. You have a top 12 guy in Paul George. You have an excellent coach. You have the ability to get guys in the buyout market. I like Landry Shamet. They added Mo Harkless this offseason as well. There's a lot of really, really good things they've done, and not even to mention Lou Williams coming off the bench as a scoring option.
Yeah, I don't know as far as 60 games, is that the number? This was a unique year where Kawhi had missed almost all of the year before. It just ended up on that number. When they started the season, there was no target as far as the number of games he was going to play. I think it would be a little bit higher for the guys who are going to do what San Antonio has done for years as far as manage their workload. I think 65 to 70 games, that will be the normal. We know guys aren't going to play 82-80 games like they used to, but Kawhi said early in free agency, I don't mind if a guy's hurt. I will hold it down. That's why he called Kevin Durant. It was an automatic buy-in to, no, man, take your time, get back healthy. I'll hold the franchise down till you get there. Paul George, on the other extreme, he should be ready in the first month of the season.
Isn't it fun, though, not to know who's going to win?
Oh, so much fun.
Before you go into a season? Yeah, Faraday.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Back here on First Things First, we took our show on the road. We are live from Cleveland, Ohio, Progressive Field, for the site of the 90th annual Major League Baseball All-Star Game. It is brisk. It is gorgeous. It is time to talk basketball. What?
Look who's here.
Yeah, former NBA All-Star and current Cavs color commentator Austin Carr joins us.
An NBA League pass legend. Yo. Out there watching one of the best crews in the league they got in Cleveland.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right, so let's get to the top story, which is continues to be the NBA looking into Kawhi Leonard and his decision to go home to L.A. to the other L.A. team. The two-time finals MVP signed a four-year deal with the Clippers worth $141 million. Joining him, six-time All-Star Paul George. Clippers traded five first-round picks, two pick swaps, and two players to get PG-13. All right, Austin, how do you think Kawhi and Paul George fit together?
Well, I think it's going to be a good marriage, but again, they're going to have to get used to playing together. But when you look at how he fit in with Toronto, it was more of a, okay, we can't make it work. Here, you take the ball and get it done. And that is what's going to have to happen here. They're going to have to get used to sharing the ball. And to me, That's why I love Golden State so much, because they share the ball. All their five guys are always in play. They can all beat you at any given time because of the way their style of play. Now, that's what the Clippers are going to have to get into. But one good thing that Kawhi will do is when you give him the ball, he can get it done.
Mm-hmm. And so on the other end of the court, you have arguably the two best wing defenders in the league. How much, as a player, how much does it help Kawhi and how much does it help Paul George knowing that on any given night, they don't have to guard the other team's best guy?
Oh, yeah.
Because they can almost take turns on that either quarter to quarter or night to night.
That means a lot. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about 82 games and then you go into the next season, which is the playoffs, that's huge. Being able to say, okay, you take him for a quarter, I take him for a quarter, that saves a lot of physical energy and mental stress, and I think that's going to help them a lot. Defensively, I'm expecting the Clippers to be one of the best in the league.
Yeah, they should be one of the best in the league. It is going to be interesting to see offensively how they develop. Paul George, in the last 2 years, his offensive game has changed an awful lot. This last Kawhi, version of Kawhi that we saw in the playoffs, he's what you said, a sensational one-on-one player when they needed a bucket. But how does Doc Rivers put them in a system? Because both of them typically are an off-guard, a wing player. Their roles that they typically play, they overlap. So they're going to have to try to create something. But as someone who's been covering the NBA, someone's been involved in the NBA the last 40 years, talk to me about how we start in November, where so many teams have a chance. It's a breath of fresh air going around the league now.
The commissioner has to be happy. I mean, the balance of power has definitely changed, but I have to put an asterisk there because I really believe if they had been healthy, they'd have beat Toronto if they had had both of their guys.
Yes.
But at the same time, they did it. And now the balance of power has changed. The East and the West is going to be different now. And that creates excitement. It creates hope. And I think the league has to be happy.
Between the Lakers and the Clippers, I'm just curious, who do you think has a better team right now?
The Lakers and the Clippers, I got to go with the Clippers.
Really?
I mean, yeah, because I can't, the Lakers, you don't know what they have. I mean, you know they got LeBron, you know they got, you know, first of all, it concerns me about Brooklyn with the, because when you come back off an Achilles injury.
With Durant.
I mean. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the same. And Brooklyn's got a while to wait. They got a year at least to wait. And then they got another 6, 4, 5 months before he gets back to the old Durant. Can they last that long is going to be the key for them.
Well, and so when we're talking about the – Chris mentioned the parity coming to the league potentially.
Right.
There's also an element of not – like teaming up with a guy but not all the guys. Mm-hmm. And so if Paul George had gone to the Lakers – if Kawhi Leonard had gone to the Lakers, I don't think anyone would have blamed him because he's from there. He had initially demanded a trade there. But now to see where he went and bringing Paul George with him – the process in which he took Paul George with him, where he meets with Paul George and says, if you can get to the Clippers, I'm signing with the Clippers. As a player, but also as Chris mentioned, someone's been around the league for 40 years. What's your feelings on how that went down? Paul George, a year after signing an extension, going to OKC and saying, not only do I want to be traded, this is the team you need to trade me.
Yeah, it's different because if I'm old school, so I'm not used to that type of communication going on like that.
That type of power.
I mean, it disrupts. You know, as an owner, you get to a point where, well, what can I plan for? How can I plan my future? Because I don't know who's going to be and who's not going to be here. Because it seems like you can break a contract anytime you want to. You just have to find people willing to make it happen.
Well, so, you've known for a long time that the owners have always had that power. Now in the era with player movement, player control, and also the guarantees, the players have more of that power. Kawhi Leonard, though, did us all a favor, those associated with the game and those who are covering the game, because he was able to show us most athletes that we have been around, they have the mentality of Kawhi. Jordan always said it. Magic always said it. You know something? Man, let's go out and compete. And now what they have in Los Angeles, because of Kawhi and his trust of Ballmer, his trust of the medical staff and his trust of Doc Rivers, now we have some balance in the league that makes it very exciting.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great because now every team feels they have an opportunity. You know, and when you look at how they've done it all there, I mean, when I look at what happened, the only way I knew about Jerry West or Phil Chenier or Archibald, I mean, even though I worked out with Archibald, the only way I knew about these guys was through Smith and Street magazine or something like that.
Right.
These guys, because of the AAU involvement, they grow up playing together. Yep. So it's like a natural thing, phenomenon for them to play together and do their thing. And it's interesting because I always wanted to beat you. I didn't want to play with you. Then that's just my mentality from old school.
And whether it's Kyrie and KD or the original Big Three in Miami, or there are also the other thing, it's not just AAU. Team USA has become, and the training, yes, and the Olympics and the World Championships, a bit of an incubator for guys getting to know each other, getting to play each other, and saying, wait, how much longer is on your deal? How much longer is on your deal? And let's come together. But now we have enough depth in the league that if you have two, you have enough great players that you can have two great players on nearly a dozen teams, and there's enough guys to go around. It's when there was three or four on one team that the disparity seemed out of whack.
Yeah, you're right. And I think, too, that the auxiliary guys are going to be so important. Kyrie, to me, what he did in Toronto was different, much different than, because he did it with himself.
Yeah. Yes.
And the other guys had to develop into what they did. I mean, because Siakam, I mean, Van Vliet, all these guys rose to another level to make it happen. They didn't have two or three other stars. So now it's going to be interesting to see how it works without having all the stars, because the other guys, like Cook in L.A., those guys have not been asked to play major moments now and be a major part. They've been asked to just come in, play a little bit.
Yeah, role players become more important.
Now role players have to step up, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can.
Welcome back to First Things First, live from Progressive Field for the All-Star Game. And we are back here with former NBA All-Star Austin Carr. Austin, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for having us in your city. It's beautiful out here today. Got a couple of people taking a little batting practice behind us, just to make sure you know we are indeed at Progressive
Field. On my way to the studio, man, I went through the queue and I saw the number up there.
Yeah.
In the rafters. No one can ever wear it.
That's right.
That speaks to how good
he was. Retired your jersey. They going to retire your microphone when you're done as well?
Well, I don't know about that. Now, Joe Tate.
Only Joe Tate?
Tony Joe Tate.
Okay. All right, let's talk some Lakers. Where do the Lakers now go after missing out on the free agent they wanted more than any other in Kawhi Leonard? Well, they filled out their roster with veterans, most notably Boogie Cousins and Kawhi's former teammate, Danny Green. The Lakers also brought back Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee. Austin, what do you make of the Lakers' moves after missing out on Kawhi Leonard?
Well, I think they've done about as good as they could do after missing out on the original, what they wanted to put together. You know, but again, it's a hodgepodge, you know. But at the same time, I understand, because that's what we went through here when LeBron was here.
Absolutely.
Exact same thing. All the young guys gone. They were lucky to keep Kuzma. I like Kuzma's game. But it's all veterans now. And so there's a whole different thing. Getting them to understand how LeBron wants to play will be much easier now than having them get a lot of backlash from the younger guys.
Okay, so 4 years when LeBron was back in Cleveland, elite offense every single year. That is because they surrounded LeBron with what?
Shooters.
Shooters. Right. And that's obviously what the Lakers failed on last year.
Right.
That's why I love the Danny Green addition. He's an excellent defender and shot 45% from three last year. You mentioned earlier Quinn Cook. Now, it'll be a bigger role than he's been asked to play in the past, but I actually like the Quinn Cook addition.
Yeah.
He's cheap. Mm-hmm. He can shoot. They need a point guard out there. I'm less bullish on Rajon Rondo. And this is where I want your expertise on it. Mm. Do you think Rondo would be okay backing up a player such as Quinn Cook?
Yeah.
Because I think Rondo on the court when LeBron's off the court makes sense. He can run the offense. He can be the leader on the court. But Rondo on the court with LeBron, now one of your guards has no shooting ability at all. This floor gets compact. So you want as many Quinn Cook and LeBron minutes as possible. Ego-wise, how do you think Rondo would deal with that? How do you think the coaching staff communicates that to him if they're thinking what I'm thinking?
Right. I know. I don't know how that situation is going to work. I mean, it's going to work, how fluid it'll be. Because, you know, Cook is going to have to – if Rondo – I don't think Rondo is going to – in other words, if Cook was a higher stature,
yes,
maybe he could accept it. But because of Cook's stature, I don't know if Rondo will be able to handle that. At the same time, playing with LeBron is different. And like you said, Cook is going to be more of a – you can throw the ball at him, he can catch and shoot it, and, yes, and you do all that. Rondo's different. He's not going to be able to do that, so that it's going to have to change the flow of what they do.
To me, it's a LeBron James problem, because after everything they went through with Magic and Rob Pelinka, there is no way you get to the bottom of that roster and you're trying to fill out spots 10 through 12 or 10 through 15. You don't call LeBron and say, do you want Rondo back? Knowing these other guys, knowing you have Caruso, knowing you got Quinn Cook, you decide to go back. So to me, Rondo's overall value is around that team and around that locker room, and he proved that, even though the numbers might not say that. He played a year. It's not like we just have him because Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins, which I do believe Boogie Cousins played his best basketball, people say, with Anthony Davis. But Rondo was there also. So for me, this is a leadership with LeBron. I believe LeBron has more power this year than the previous year in Los Angeles, given everything else they went through, Jenna.
CeCe, you mentioned Boogie. Austin, I'm curious where you think Boogie fits into this roster, how much he'll be utilized, and whether we had some issues with him in Golden State, whether his ego would allow for either coming off the bench or not, how he fits in to Frank Vogel's system.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be interesting because it's a different, the dynamic is different there because Vogel is on thin ground anyway. Because he got Jason there.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Jason is just a coach in waiting.
Just waiting.
You know, so that puts the head coach in a tough situation. You know, so it's kind of hard to figure out how that's going to work. But I kind of feel like you feel. I don't know. Boogie is going to be, if he's okay, fine. If he's not, we can sit him there. We're not paying him that. We can sit him there. I don't see him being, you know, because, again, that Achilles is going to be, that's tough. And from what I saw, he can't elevate anymore, and that's going to be a tough situation if you can't elevate at his size and run the floor like he has to.
All right, you mentioned the coaching situation. Jenna's been harping on this really all offseason. So you've got Frank Vogel as the head coach. Then you have Jason Kidd. You also have Lionel Hollins. Right. They're also in talks with a defensive assistant from the Warriors, but let's just talk about those three guys. When LeBron's first year back in Cleveland, they had already hired David Blatt. Then LeBron comes back. They obviously hired David Blatt to coach a young team. LeBron's there. We're trying to win. You trade Wiggins for Kevin Love. LeBron's guy, Ty Lue. Now, he hadn't been a head coach in the league at that point in time, is sitting on the bench. A lot of people thought, man, is Ty going to end up getting this job? A year and a half later, even though the Cavs, I think, had the best record in the conference, they get blown out by 100 by Golden State. They fire Vogel. It ends up working out. I'm sorry. They fire David Blatt. Works out great. Ty Lue proves to be an excellent coach. David Blatt probably never be in the NBA again. So it's not apples to apples. But how hard is Frank Vogel's job? You haven't seen David Blatt looking over his shoulder with Ty Lue, where he's looking over his shoulder at two guys, one of whom, and Jason Kidd, has been a head coach for two different teams in the league, played on Team USA with LeBron, has LeBron's enormous respect.
And did he interview with the Lakers
And interviewed with the Lakers for the head coaching job. How do you think that affects Vogel's ability to do his job?
Oh, it's going to be, a tug of war. I don't think, because of the situation, I mean, even to have Jason Kidd hanging over your head like that, I mean, every time, if they get into a slow start, I mean, you watch, the media is going to be right on top of it. Kidd in the waiting, Kidd, and that has to have an effect. I hope that Vogel and Kidd and Hollins, they have a conversation and get everything understood early, because it's definitely, those people in L.A. are waiting for a winner, they're looking for a winner, And if you don't bring it to him right away, it's going to be, it's going to be all types of things coming out. And they got to be strong and together to make it work.
CeCe, how much of this is going to be Vogel sitting the team down, and how much is it going to be Vogel sitting with LeBron and saying, what's going to work for you best? We don't have that third guy now. What would be best for you to make this work?
Well, I don't think Frank is going to LeBron saying what's best. I think that they have figured out a number of things, and I believe they can prove it by the analytics, by what the numbers say. You can put a piece of paper in front of LeBron and say, we are best at this. But they didn't have a roster then. So they just got a roster. So trying to figure out, who's going to play this? Who's going to be the problems? Like, Jason Kidd's going to be a problem. Boogie Cousins. That's part of sports. It's about working out. They're big boys. They're being paid contracts. Vogel knew what he was up against. But let me tell you something. The roster he has is a lot better than what he thought it was going to be. So that's a good problem to have. Boogie Cousins, I believe that situation works itself out. When you look at the Lakers roster, it becomes important that the best players play. There's not a better center on their roster. So you guys say, Boogie's not going to play. It's going to be hard not to play him.
Well, Anthony Davis might be the
better center. Anthony Davis does not want to play center. He's always said that. Yep. And his best basketball came when he played the four and Boogie played the five next to him.
All right, so let's talk about Anthony Davis real quick, because in LeBron's career, he's played with great wings, great point guards, great power forward in Kevin Love and Chris Bosh. And Anthony Davis is four or five. He is the best true big man LeBron's ever played with by an enormous margin.
Right.
I think the second best is Big Z. Is it Zydrunas, probably? How do you, we've talked so much about the Lakers. I feel like we haven't talked much about Anthony Davis. Having watched LeBron his whole career, how do you think LeBron's game matches up with Anthony Davis? And what do you think that duo is going to look like?
I feel it's going to be fantastic, because LeBron is going to be able to play and all over the floor. I think LeBron will play more of a well-rounded game now. He won't dominate so much the ball. He'll give it up because he's going to get it in positions. Anthony Davis because one thing I know LeBron will do, he's going to know when to give it and how to give it to Davis and get out of the way. And then the key is going to be, can they all stay and play all the time, and you don't have to isolate a guy to get his performance. As long as you can keep them playing together, and that's what LeBron wants. He wants to get in a situation where, even though I'm throwing it to you, I'm still in play, he's still in play, he's still in play. So now, defensively, you got to worry about everybody all the time. And that is a tough situation when you got LeBron James on the floor and you got to worry about Anthony Davis too, and you got to worry about whoever else, Kuzma. It makes it a tough defensive effort, because you got to give up something to stop one situation.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.